In this moment, Black police officers are facing the intersection of their identities and their profession. Black police are also making up a declining percentage of officers in many departments, which is in part due to years of deep mistrust. Joining me now is Charles P. Wilson, the national chairman of the National Association of Black Law Enforcement Officers. Welcome.
Thank you.
Charles, you were an officer for a long time. You're retired now. What is it like to look at those images we're seeing on the news and see from afar what's happening in this moment?
It's disturbing. It's disappointing. The images that I saw of, obviously everyone has seen, of how George Floyd died. Putting a knee on somebody's neck for more than 9 minutes has no place whatsoever in the law enforcement practitioner. You know, am I surprised that it happened? No.
Hmm.
You know, what people have to recognize and accept, the institution of policing has been inherently biased against people of color and low income, and it was designed to be that way. So the actions of the officers are not surprising. Okay.
I want to talk to you a little bit about what you're saying about the design, that it's inherent, that it's part of the system. You're talking specifically about the images we've seen of George Floyd, but you know these protests that we're watching. While there are these images of officers joining protesters, there are other images we're seeing of officers deliberately spraying peaceful protesters with tear gas, stomping on peaceful protesters as they sit on the ground, slamming them against buildings. Those latter images and what happened to George Floyd speak to the moment that we're in right now, a deep distrust by Americans and arguments that brutality as a form of control is actually an inherent part of policing.
Yes, it is.
Say more.
Again, the system itself was designed to work this way. Now, admittedly, it was initially started to keep poor people under control, to ensure that the rich or more well-to-do were able to maintain their status. When Black folks got here, you know, they just fell victim to the system.
Hmm. How does that come into play as a Black police officer? You served as the first Black police chief in a suburb in Cleveland, Ohio from 1988 to the mid-90s.
Yes.
I would imagine there's a level of dual consciousness here of being both a Black person and also a police officer. How did you balance that? And how do Black police officers balance that?
We often say it's an issue of remembering who we are, where we came from, and why we're doing what we do. Of the 9,000 plus members of our organization, all of us are embedded in our communities. We are very strong advocates of the concepts of community policing, fighting against police brutality, misconduct, and excessive use of force. So those people who we come in contact with, they know that we are there for our communities. Now, they also know that we just point blank ain't down for the damage that's being done.
What I'm hearing from you is that from your view, in many ways, Black police officers play a subversive force in a larger institution of policing. Through community policing, you feel that having Black officers is vitally important to the entire institution of policing.
We play a very pivotal role, and the research supports that very definitely.
Yeah, you were actually one of the authors of a post published on the London School of Economics, U.S. Center's website, which explains the differences in the way Black officers perceive racial profiling by police, especially in small agencies. It's different than the common assessments of bias. Can you explain more?
We looked at specifically how Black officers perceived their service and worth in the community and their perceptions of whether profiling occurred and whether profiling was being condoned by their agencies. And the overwhelming numbers of officers that we surveyed indicated that, yes, racial profiling does in fact exist in their agencies. And most definitely, there are agencies that condone it. So what we have to look at, who and how you hire. You have to look at what and how you train. You have to look at how and who is supervising your personnel. If you're looking to actually change the culture of the profession, you have to look at the policies that are in place.
But I want to ask you about something else. So here in Los Angeles, Black officers make up about 9% of the police force, but that number could actually dwindle in the coming years because those who make up that percentage were actually hired back in the 80s and the 90s, and they're actually retiring soon. Can you speak to this overall, and then also the effectiveness of those trainings that you're talking about?
Well, see, the first thing you have to look at, again, is how are you hiring people? We know that when they conduct their recruiting programs, they are not properly reaching out to the core constituencies in the Black and brown communities. And if you're not reaching out to those people who have both an inherent and definitive connection to the folks you say you're trying to recruit, you're not recruiting for us. Okay? If you tell me that one of your primary candidates for the job is supposed to be a Black female, and you are not also telling me that you're putting your recruiting information in the hair salons, fitness centers, and shopping centers where every single Black woman I know goes at least once a week, you are not recruiting for Black females. I'm sorry. So the next part of that equation is for police management and administration, and in fact, community legislators, to format policies that provide for getting rid of the idiots. We have to ensure that those people who are working have ample opportunity and incentive to turn those people in, because they're as much of a danger to the law enforcement officer as they are to people in the community.
Do you see us moving in that direction?
It's not as strong and prevalent as it should be, but it is present, okay? During the entire time I was on the job, people knew. If you did something improper or incorrect around me, I was going to blow you away, you know? And once I got supervisory rank, it became a lot easier because I could write them up where they would lose time on the job or lose their jobs completely.
What you speak to is the power of being able to have those higher ranking positions within law enforcement.
We have to.
Yeah. What's it like right now to be a Black police officer in the middle of what is now one of the largest civil unrests in recent history?
It's hard as hell. Yeah, and I say that tongue in cheek. This entire past week, I've been trying to stay in contact with various people in our membership, Philadelphia, Chicago, New York, New Jersey. I got a notice from one of the officers in New York. They want to do implicit bias training. And I've told them point blank, we've been doing implicit bias training for the last 6 years. And our counterparts are, in fact, coming to those training sessions. So we know that what we're talking works.
That's Charles P. Wilson. He is the national chairman of the National Association of Black Law Enforcement Officers. Thank you so much for joining us.
It was my pleasure. Thank you.